Excellent. Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? Great to see you today. Are you blessed? How about you tell the person next to you the best looking thing that you've seen all day? Hey, who believes it? They certainly are. Some of you are not so convinced. All good. Well, it's good to see you in the house of God today, and it's okay to have fun in God's house. Doesn't need to be gloomy, dark. It's okay to smile. So how about a smile? Show me those Colgate teeth. Yeah, there you go. Ali, you're not doing it. There we go. Good stuff. Beautiful. Well, today is the beginning of our missions program or missions launch for 2017. If you're new in our church, every March, we dedicate the vast majority of March to speak about missions, to talk about what God has done, and talking about what God has called us to do through the missions arm of our church over the course of 2017. Now, of course, you would notice on your seat that there is a missions brochure. I saw some of you reading it during praise and worship. Only kidding. And it's your opportunity to just get in writing some of the good things that God has done, stuff we're about to engage in as well. But one of the most important things in the brochure is that you'll notice that there is a give card. And of course, we're passionate as a church about generosity towards missions. And eventually, at the end of March, which is March 26th, everyone say March 26th, that will be our miracle missions offering. And that is the day that we receive an offering, we give to the Lord to fuel the missions arm of our church for 2017. Now, if you're new to our church, you do need to know that it's not a 12-month pledge. That is, we don't make a commitment over 12 months of what we're going to give towards missions. It is a miracle missions offering on that day. And we're believing that we are going to exceed what's been given in the past so that we can continue to advance in reaching people with the gospel, because the gospel is for everyone, everywhere, and this is our part to play. And so can I please encourage you between now and March 26th to pray, to ask God what he would have you to do. We don't give under compulsion, but we give as each person purposes in their heart, says the Bible. And as we prepare, can I encourage you to really lay a hold of God? And of course, between now and March 26th, we'll be sharing some great stories, bringing a fruit report of what your giving has done last time you gave in the Miracle Missions offering, and the things that we have been able to do as a church, as a corporate body, as a community, in reaching people with the love of God, from kids all the way through to mums and dads, both local, national, and international. And so can I thank you, church, for your generosity. And as you will hear, as we journey over this morning and over the next few weeks, your giving is making a tremendous impact in people's lives right across the globe, all for the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen. How good is that? Well, we have been in a series on Nehemiah. And of course, last week we looked at Nehemiah's daring faith. Everyone say daring faith. We looked at the place that we called between this and that. We spoke about the safe zone and the faith zone. We said that God has not called us to remain in the safe zone. God has called us to the faith zone. We said the blessing of God, Nehemiah's daring faith. Everyone say daring faith. We looked at the place that we called between this and that. We spoke about the safe zone and the faith zone. We said that God has not called us to remain in the safe zone. God has called us to the faith zone. We said the blessing of God, the favor of God, the miraculous is found in the faith zone. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have spoken about Nehemiah weeping over the ruined walls. He prayed, he fasted. His heart has been steeped in prayer. We've looked at Nehemiah's request to the king for the king to release him. And resource him, and the king agreed to it. Nehemiah was sent, he was given safe passage, and he was supplied. A reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent, he was given safe passage, my time has not yet come, and he was supplied with the resource of heaven. Nehemiah is in fact a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ rebuilding the broken walls of lost humanity. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is always the center. We're going to pick up the story this morning. Are you with me, church? Come on, about five of us. Don't fall asleep on me now, because I'm about to preach it to you. We're going to pick up the story where Nehemiah has been released. He's been released. He has his resource. And he's on a 3 to 4 supplied with the resource of heaven. Nehemiah is, in fact, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ rebuilding the broken walls of lost humanity. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is always the center. We're going to pick up the story this morning. Are you with me, church? Come on, about five of us. Don't fall asleep on me now, because I'm about to preach it to you. We're going to pick up the story where Nehemiah has been released. He's been released. He has his resource, and he's on a 3 to 4 month journey to travel from Susa all the way to Jerusalem. I can imagine in Nehemiah's heart and mind, what's he going to do when he arrives? What is he going to say? The people in Jerusalem are not aware of what has happened in Nehemiah and what God has done through him. What is he going to say? The people in Jerusalem are not aware of what has happened in Nehemiah and what God has done through him at this point. I can imagine as he's journeying over 3 to 4 months, he realizes that these people need to be reawakened to possibility. He faces an immense task of inspiring these people to rise. Remembering, church, that these people, the walls of Jerusalem, Jerusalem has been in this condition in their father's time, their grandfather's time, their great-grandfather's time. In other words, they had lived with their present circumstance for so long that it has become culture. It's just normal. I can imagine Nehemiah, this leader, thinking about how is he going to motivate these people? Put yourself in Nehemiah, thinking about how is he going to motivate these people? Put yourself in Nehemiah's shoes. What would you say? What would you do? Remembering that the sands of time has smothered the patriotic zeal which these people once possessed. Also remembering that when you arrive in Jerusalem to share what God has done, there is an existing structure, a power structure. There's titles and leaders and so on. And this man's going to come in to tell a journey that helps us to see God's pattern in bringing restoration and transformation to a broken city, just like we're doing through our missions arm. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. Are you ready this morning? Nehemiah 2, verse 11 says, when I arrive in Jerusalem, he's made it, finally. I waited 3 days. Hold on, Nehemiah. You have journeyed for 3 to 4 months. You prayed and fasted for 4 months. We're talking 7 to 8 months, and you finally arrive, and you wait for 3 days? Verse 12 says, during this time, he set out by night, taking a few men with me, but I told no one. He goes out at nighttime, and he surveys the condition of the walls. He's in a covert, stealth, secret exploration to gain perspective. In other words, he's equipping himself with the dimension of the task. He's doing a realistic assessment, I should say. In other words, he is in his heart, in his mind, pursuing the unglamorous labor of research. Not everybody wants to pursue the unglamorous task, the unglamorous labor of research. But it's in these moments of seeking God. It's in these moments of waiting upon God. It's in these moments of listening to the heart of God that you get right perspective on what needs to be done. To the heart of God that you get right perspective on what needs to be done. There are too many people who jump into things, who put their hands to the plow too quickly without listening to the voice of God, because they don't want the task of digging the well to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in order to know how to engage. I wonder how Nehemiah felt when he walked, he surveyed, he looked at the broken walls. There was one point that the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 14 that there was so much damage that he actually had to jump off his animal to continue on the journey because the animal couldn't pass through, a horse or a donkey it may be. Moments of seeking God. It's in these moments of waiting upon God. It's in these moments of listening to the heart of God that you get right perspective on what needs to be done. There are too many people who jump into things, who put their hands to the plow too quickly without listening to the voice of God, because they don't want the task of digging the well to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in order to know how to engage. I wonder how Nehemiah felt when he walked, he surveyed, he looked at the broken walls. There was one point that the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 14 that there was so much damage that he actually had to jump off his animal to continue on the journey because the animal couldn't pass through, a horse or a donkey it may be. I can imagine in Nehemiah's heart and mind, he's asking himself the question, where is the heart of God that you get right perspective on what needs to be done? There are too many people who jump into things, who put their hands to the plow too quickly without listening to the voice of God, because they don't want the task of digging the well to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in order to know how to engage. I wonder how Nehemiah felt when he walked, he surveyed, he looked at the broken walls. There was one point that the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 14 that there was so much damage that he actually had to jump off his animal to continue on the journey because the animal couldn't pass through, a horse or a donkey it may be. I can imagine in Nehemiah's heart and mind, he's asking himself the question, where do I begin? Which part of the wall do we start on? Who do I speak to? There's a lot of need here. His good is God. Our mission's arm is about listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, what would you have us to do? Where would you have us to go? What is it that you're asking us to engage in? Because, church, we are not seeking opportunity. What we're actually looking for is the will of God. The will of God is paramount. The will of God is everything to us. The will of God is where the favor and the blessing of God is and the grace of God. It's in His will. We don't want to step outside of that. And just like Nehemiah, this continuous prompting of the Spirit of God leading him, he was taking his cues from the Spirit of God, showing him what to do and what not to do. And it was through that that he was able to cause something or put in motion something that's impossible, something that's been in existence for 150 years, and see that thing moved and shifted and shaped for the glory of God. But it all starts with listening to the voice of God. We can't ignore the voice of God in God leading us. There will always be needs. There will always be things that demand our attention. But just like Jesus, we need to stay in our grace lane. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Missions for us is hearing the voice of God and responding accordingly. There will always be things that demand our attention and want to take us to the right or to the left, but we must be settled in our grace lane. Can you say amen? Amen. He hears from God, and God begins to give him a strategy on how to motivate and stir these people. Look at what happens in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 16. So I arrived back without the magistrates knowing where I had been or what I was doing. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the magistrates, or any of those who would be responsible for the work. Now look at what happens, verse 17. Then I said to them, now he's given the big speech. You see the distress. Here we go, church. That what? We are in. Notice his language. He doesn't say the distress that you people are in. He says the distress that we are in. He goes on to say how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Here we go. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. Months before, it was their trouble. Now it is his trouble. Nehemiah is passionately involved in the city's welfare. And it feels as though the need that's out there has been a part of his heart and his life for years. So here we find Nehemiah establishing a close identification with the needs of the people. Now here's my point. Watch this. When you don't pray for that which you are called to, it will always be them and it will never be us. You can tell the language whether the person prays or not, because the language reveals what's actually going on in the heart. If we don't pray for that which we are called to, it will always be them and it will never be us. Nehemiah's prayed, he's fasted, and God's burden, the burden of the people, has become his burden. What is Nehemiah doing? He's a change agent, isn't he? Have you ever seen a change agent in operation that doesn't have the Spirit of God and the heart for people? I certainly have. I remember when we planted a church in Perth. And it was a great church, and we were renting a room at Subiaco High School. At Subiaco High School, the principal was a lovely lady, so pleasant, so excited that a church could be in her school on Sundays. But the school had some troubling times, and they employed a change agent. Well, this lady, how can I put it? I think she was a kickboxer. I think she had a black belt in Taekwondo, not only physically, but emotionally as well. She asked for an appointment with me, and I go and meet her, and she grilled me. Why are you in this school? What's it actually all about? And I felt as if I was standing in front of the sergeant, telling me and asking me the 21 questions about life. That lady literally, she brought change to the school, but it came at a great price. There were teachers that resigned who had resource and knowledge because of her abrasive nature. She was harsh. She was strong. She got the job done, but she destroyed relationships because she had an idea that change was needed, but she had no heart for the people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Can I say that again? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Can you say amen? Well, this change agent, she went crazy. And after about 6 months, she didn't last. But it came at a great price. We cannot forsake prayer in the purposes of God. Prayer will connect our hearts to God's heart, which God's heart is all about people. When we pray and we're in the presence of God, it gives us right perspective. It helps us to see circumstances and situations through the eyes of God. Was change needed? Absolutely, in Nehemiah's time. But he did it with the heart of God and a love for people. Can you say amen? Amen. Our missions program is all about seeing change. But as we prayed and laid a hold of God, just like Nehemiah, our language is not about the people out there. It's not about the nations about out there. It's about us. It's about the distress that is in the community that you and I have been called by God to be a part of. In fact, it's not about them. It is about us, our community, our broken walls, walls that have come crumbling down through foolish decisions taking place over years and years of leadership in our nations and the nations of the earth. It is not their problem, it's our problem, because we have the heart of God. It is about us. Can you say amen? Well, Nehemiah, he talks to them about us. Then he does something absolutely amazing. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 says, I told them how the gracious hand of God had been upon me. Can you say amen? So now he's reflecting on the good things that God has done. He's identified and he's reflecting on God's goodness. And also what the king had said to me. In other words, the king changed his decree. They replied, let us start the rebuilding. So they set about the work vigorously. Amen. What a good word. And to good purpose. Now watch what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah looks back in order to look ahead. Nehemiah declares to them the goodness of God and what God had already done in order to engage their hearts in the future. In other words, it's called the footsteps of grace. Psalm 77 verse 11 says, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. We need to look back, church, in order to give us confidence to look ahead and to look at what God is about to do. We're told in Christianity, don't look back. But I'm telling you today, look back. It's okay. Look at the goodness of God over our church in the past 12 months. One night, Tim and I were driving in the car. It was about 10 p.m. And this radical, crazy idea came out of nowhere in my Holden Cruise. Came out. This young adult conference idea came about. Well, Tim started on the process, put a budget together, and then, church, in September of this year, something amazing happened. We saw the fruit of a thought, of an idea birthed by the Spirit of God, and this place, church, was packed with young adult ministries from all across Australia. In fact, there were close to 100 different young adult ministries from around the nation and New Zealand right here in our church. I'm looking back in order to look forward. And just like Nehemiah, I'm saying to you, church, look at the gracious hand of our God in the area of missions. And as we do that, it'll give us the fuel to say, let's keep going forward. Amen. We've taken registrations for the Young Adult Conference at the last conference. And literally within 1 to 2 weeks, I think it was, Tim, we had over 400 young adults already registered for 2017 this year. I'm telling you, church, this conference will sell out in 2017. The momentum behind the scenes is absolutely amazing. And missions has had a part to play because missions has invested into the young adults of our nation. Glory be to God for the good things He has done. Can you say amen? Come on, I'm talking to about 7 people today. This is something to be excited. Let's never get familiar with the presence of God. Familiarity produces disrespect. Well, we had another crazy idea. That was going to this nation called Myanmar. Everyone had to go on Google Maps. Where's Myanmar? And we did something even more crazy. We took 26 people. We basically took out the whole plane. Propeller plane, that was, in Myanmar. And our team went over. And literally, and you'll hear more about this as the weeks roll on, we touched thousands and thousands and thousands. Our team was on television in Myanmar preaching and bringing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking back at the gracious hand of our God and saying, this is only the beginning. Let's build the wall together in the name of Jesus. Amen. We did something else that was crazy. Do you want me to tell you what it is? We went to the nation of Papua New Guinea, Australia's closest neighboring country. Well, I went over, I took Shane Martin with me, and we preached at the National Assemblies of God Conference. It's the first conference that they have had in 10 years. Pastors came from everywhere. There were over 1,000 pastors. And I start preaching with a morning service. And while I was preparing, now you always ask God, God, what is it that you'd have me to do? And I've been thinking about this for quite some time. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, preach the sermon that you have on the power of agreement from the book of Joshua on the sin of Achan. And I'm like, Lord, I don't think I'm hearing from you, because you don't preach at a pastor's conference on the sin of Achan, let alone being your first sermon. And the more I dwelt in it, the more the Holy Spirit said, that is what you need to preach. Well, I get up and I tell the story of the sin of Achan, and I speak about the power of agreement. One can put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Behold, how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And I'm declaring unity. God's called not one of us to be out of rank. We're called to march together. It's our marching together that makes us powerful and strong in the purposes of God. I preach this red hot message calling people to repentance. Well, I had no idea that straight after my sermon, it literally flowed from the sermon, the keyboard player stood up, was playing part of me, and the national executive came up and stood on the platform, the national executive of the Assemblies of God. They've got over 2,000 Assemblies of God churches in Papua New Guinea. What was happening next, unbeknown to me, was each of these members were reading out 5 things that they needed to apologize to the people for and to God for just their mishandling of leadership and a whole bunch of things. And there we were preaching on the sin of Achan, the power of agreement, walking together in unity. And they stand up and they say, Lord, we just come before you, ask for unity, because there were different factions and camps. And then they had communion, they broke bread, and they drank the juice together, and there was love and tears and unity. It was our missions arm that fueled that. And then the general superintendent, they still have old phrases over there, the Assemblies of God, Australian Oil and Gas. No. he called me up about 2 weeks later. His name is Pastor Joe Pandu. He said, Brad, a fire has been birthed across our churches. The fire of God is sweeping across our nation. Where did it start? It started in our missions arm. And we're looking back at the gracious hand of God and we're saying, church, this is only the beginning. Can you say amen? Woo! Then our youth team got involved in a nation called Sri Lanka. Jackson went over, our youth pastor, and he did a reconnaissance mission over there. And he went with the Queensland Youth Alive team to check out Sri Lanka and see what God was doing. And maybe it's something that God was calling us to. So we're looking for the thermals. We're looking for the lift of the Holy Spirit. But God says, yes, that's it. Well, Jackson goes over and he asks me, he says, Pastor Brad, how do I posture myself when I'm over there? I said, Jackson, be a servant. Go and serve and God will take care of the rest. Promotion does not come from man, does not come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. Well, this is when Jackson busted his elbow. Who remembers that? And instead of fasting and praying before the youth camp, he was skateboarding. So Jackson goes over, he serves. The National Youth Alive Director of Australia, Pastor Cameron Bennett, one of our friends of Shire Life, he asked Jackson to come up and just share for a few minutes. Now, in their culture, young people, you just got to do your time and in the right time, you will have your turn. So Jackson getting up there as a 23-year-old is a big deal. Well, Jackson gets up and he starts sharing. The veins are popping. They're going crazy. And the whole meeting lifts and there's this explosion of life. The general superintendent looks up at Jackson and he says, that young man, he's preaching in my church this Sunday. There was a thermal of the Holy Spirit. Since then, we've been able to take a youth team to Sri Lanka and we've been able to have an impact and strengthen and encourage the hands of the young people and the youth pastors that are over there. But all of this came about because of missions. There is so much more I could tell you, church. Locally, nationally, globally, in the way that God is using our church. In the last 10 days, church, and this is not a boast, but this is to let you, to show you what God's doing through our church. I've had 3 senior pastors contact me from around our nation who are flying in to come and visit me for a day because they've heard, and these churches are larger than our church. Some of that, one particular church is about 5 or 6 times larger than us because they've heard about what God is doing right here at Shire Life. Can you say amen? Amen. Church, the gracious hand of God has been upon us. And I encourage you with these stories. I stir you and motivate you and inspire you to let you know God has been good. But this is only the beginning of the good things that God is doing through our church. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen.